I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I was thinking about this. Outside of Baker, I can't think of another time that we've been this deep into December. The Browns were just eliminated from the playoffs with a horrific, unexplainable loss to a horrific bad team. And I'm excited to watch the next game.
Yeah.
And not just that, because I think like hope really is the main drug that the NFL sells. And you're so right about the hope in the quarterback position and the thing that spurns you on. But it's not just hope for the final four games. It's hope that this isn't just going to be, so do you trade up for Mendoza or Moore? Like, if you believe in those guys, then it's still going to be a conversation, right? And it wouldn't surprise, sure. Like, I don't know that there's anything Shador can do to completely put that conversation to bed. But it just being a real conversation is a gigantic flexibility. The reason why it got boned so hard this last year is your flexibility was Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, into Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. Like, that's, like, your best case scenario was Kirk Cousins, who's helping the LA Rams rather get a top 10 pick this year by way of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, that was going to be your best case scenario, and instead your worst case scenario was Joe Flacco.
Well, and the other subplot around this, and I joked about this with you on Thursday, and I think it kind of bared out over the weekend, where I was imploring everyone, if you don't want to see Deshaun Watson play quarterback next year in any capacity, root for Shador to be awesome. Like, root for him to be great.
Still emotional blackmail, by the way.
And yes, it was, and I admit to it, and that's fine. I just needed as many people as I possibly could in that moment to get on board with rooting for Shador this last weekend. But like, it is true. Like, there are, and then you get the report on Saturday, and everyone's talking about Deshaun not only being on the team for next year, but possibly starting next year. And maybe that came from David Mulugeta. I don't know. We'll find out later. But there's at least that conversation.
Had a signature at the bottom of it. It was really weird.
It might as well have. But like, we'll at least have those. We were having those conversations. And we were talking about it. And if Shador is, I'm not even saying great. If he's good enough to at least, you know, stave off the quarterback draft conversations, and maybe it's just because Mendoza ends up going number one overall and the Browns have the fourth or fifth overall pick, whatever, it gives you options and you can go into 2027 and you can attack the quarterback plan from there if Shador then doesn't materialize.
Now, I said to start the show, if Shador playing the way he did yesterday, if it doesn't at least open your mind a little bit, at some point you just have to question whether you like football. Right? Like, if you can't, again, in the second segment.
Because it was just fun? Is that why?
What was fun, he's 4 touchdowns. I don't recall the last time a quarterback got 4 touchdowns in a game and actually was, like, directly responsible for them. However, but, like, if you're still on the fence or if you're like, well, that's great, but I want to see more. Okay, that's probably the appropriate take today. But it was interesting to see who's willing to maybe start to open up the dialogue there and who isn't. Well, let's give credit where it's due. Anthony Lima today of the Morning Boys began the show, I believe this from the first hour, maybe admitting a little culpability on his mistakes with Shador.
This is what makes the Browns look terrible. It does look really bad that you drafted Dylan ahead of him. You gave him first priority. He wasn't ready for football.
Yeah.
Shador was more ready for football. And you told everybody.
Yeah.
This is the thing. When people would get mad at me or Albert Breer or any of the reporters saying that there was this chasm between the two quarterbacks, well, it's because the Browns were telling everybody that. And then, by the way they operated, they were telling everybody that. So it was the Browns that planted that seed. And so, yeah, I ran with it. I made the mistake of trusting the Browns on that. And it's obvious to everybody that Dylan Gabriel was not ready, that Shador was more ready, and that, oh, by the way, Shador has way more talent.
All right. As the lead supporter at this station, is this Anthony Lima taking accountability for his shahate, as it were? Do you accept this logic there?
Okay, so there's two different roads we can go down, and I want to see which one you think of. Because the first one, this was my initial thought. My initial thought was, wow, that was big of Lima.
Uh-huh.
Like, he didn't have to concede all of that right then and there. And while admitting, basically, that he just fell victim to the idea that the Browns were pushing him all sorts of information, and like a sucker at the poker table, he was buying it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm shocked he did that.
Oh, and you're frothing.
Well, it's surprising.
You gotta see, if you guys aren't watching the 92 Fan YouTube channel, you need to see the way that as JP was saying it in real time, I could see you
getting... Well, I do get angry.
You're getting just...
I get angry at it because I sat there and I tried telling anyone that would listen for as long as they would listen that the Browns are lying to everybody behind the scenes about Shador's lack of development and all this other stuff, and that it was hogwash. And meanwhile, I was getting shouted down by people like Lima who were telling me, no, you're not talking to the right people. Everyone that's there says he can't even do anything, can't even hold a football. It's like, no, guys, he can. He was really good in college. I'm telling you, this is going to translate. But to have the admittance there that you just took what they said and you ate it up and then tried spoon-feeding it to everybody is what drives me insane. Have a thought for yourself. Have an opinion for yourself. Don't just take what the Browns tell you. That's the part that I get mad about. That's the part that I do get mad about. Now, the other side of this,
you are
though,
seeing, by the way, he curtailed that just a little bit because he saw the joy in my eyes as it was happening. He's
anytime Nick gets really excited, I go, oh no, we're going too hard here. This started off as trying to be like, good job, Lima. You did good. Like, thank you for at least admitting it. Thank you for falling on the sword.
The slippery wizard has done a good job being spoon-fed things from the Cleveland Browns.
I do think it takes a lot, though, to at least be like, hey, my bad. I got spoon-fed and fell for it instead of thinking on your own. Like, at least you admitted that.
No, I think it's chicken bleep.
Of course it is. No. Now the other part of this, Nick, is then as that was playing, though, I had a second thought. I was like, wait a second. Is he in many ways just trying to escape culpability here and pass the buck to the Browns were the reason why I ended up looking like an idiot?
Yeah, I believe that is.
That's also not good enough either. So the same people that made you look, maybe this is just a lesson, okay? The same people that made him look like an idiot throughout this entire process and saying all these other things about how Shador isn't ready, where then 3 weeks later he's throwing for, 350 yards and three touchdowns. Maybe you shouldn't trust him next time. Maybe that's the learning experience here. Maybe you just don't trust him and run with what they're trying to tell you behind the scenes, because they've lied to you for 6 years about what they do behind the scenes. They're not trustworthy.
I also
they never
think,
have been.
Like, here's the thing. I immensely respect the Cavs and Guardians organizations. So I give them deferential treatment that if they were to say, hey, Nick, heard you said this, and here's what we really think it is. I'm not going to completely go, well, okay, that must be it.
It makes me doubt it even more when that happens.
With the Cavs and Guardians, I will at least...
Oh, with Cavs and Guardians,
I will
okay.
have that, like, all no, right, I that still, checks I still and balances.
I doubt everybody, though.
No,
that's
no,
the
no,
difference.
No,
I doubt everybody.
You should, absolutely. But with two very credible organizations, I'll at least entertain what I hear. The Browns cannot sell me anything. There's nothing. And by the way, in the moment that they should have lost all credibility with anybody in the media is training camp. When they were saying how good Dylan, how far ahead he was, how good he looked, and how Shador's really not ready. While Shador passed every test that we saw, and Dylan failed every test and they acted like the opposite happened, that should have been the moment that a lot of people really wised up. And instead, they went, because it's not just Lima. There were a lot of people that took the bait from this and just didn't keep an open mind on Shador because, well, the Browns said, which is the... just the definition of galactic stupid.
Exactly. And the other side, and I thought about this with Lima too, and just trying to like be like, I'm just trying to be kind here is the point, right? Obviously, I failed at
We're
that mission.
We're going back to the kind.
I failed at that mission. I get it. But I was trying to be kind in my head of being like, I'm going to give him credit for admitting this. That was big of him in a way. But the other side of this is, and I just wondered this, is it because we spent so much more time at training camp? Because we do the shows from training camp. Mm-hmm. And Lima goes to training camp. I'm not saying he's never there. But like for a lot of people, they're not there the amount of days that were there. And we saw with our own two eyes Dylan look awful, and so it made it so much easier in many respects. Yes, I believed in Shador way before training camp, and yes, I thought Dylan Gabriel sucked way before training camp. But when you sit there and do an interview with Bernie Kosar, and we collectively watched 7 straight incompletions and nowhere close by Dylan Gabriel, it makes it a lot easier to be like, "Hey, the red flags are happening. Mm-hmm. You got more red flags than Tiananmen Square going on right now. Like, can somebody pay attention to what they're trying to shovel to you guys while understanding that it's not matching what our eyes are saying in the slightest bit?"
I also think like just. To because there's going to be idea of, well, the Browns did give him a chance. Kevin has coached all this kind of stuff that are very fair conversation to have about this. But I can't get over that there was some sort of internal thing going on that allowed the organization itself to lean into the narratives about Shador that were perhaps unfair in the pre-draft process, and that they themselves, or at least parts of them, we're still stuck on their pre-draft evaluation instead of letting this kid come in with a blank slate. And I think that to me, and that to get back to Kevin Stefanski, that's my frustration. There is what you thought of a human being in the pre-draft process. And then there is going out and saying draft position doesn't matter. It's a clean slate for everyone. And then that not being true.
Oh yeah,
that to me is antithetical to leadership.
Or they're just really bad at their jobs. Take your pick. It's either neither one is
a
good answer.
Both.
Yeah, but neither one is a good answer, though. And so that's part of the problem in the entire discussion.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. Let's go with Ken in Cuyahoga Falls. Ken, welcome to the show, buddy.
Gentlemen, how's it going? Hey, Jonathan, you're not going to like me. Oh, I thought Shador played awesome. I did. I don't even care about the one interception.
That feels weird because it does I feel like he would like this. Yeah, he sounds like he likes this a lot.
So far, I like this, Ken.
No. Jonathan, you can't see straight.
He's not cross-eyed.
No. Listen to what I'm telling you. I was such a Baker homer, I couldn't see. I love Baker still. And I want Shador to be the best quarterback the Browns have ever had. But you got to pump the brakes.
What did I say that wasn't pumping the brakes?
No. I'm not saying that. I want him to do well. Don't get me wrong, because I'm tired of all these losers. He didn't lose the game. The pants me did. They need to let him go. It's time to move on. I just don't want you to get upset if something happens to Shador and he's not what you think he is. That's all I'm saying.
I'm open for that, Ken. And I
are you really?
No,
are you really? Really are.
Ken.
I hear you guys every day, and I love you both, really.
But especially me.
I do. I love you too, Nick.
Do I believe in him? Yes. If it doesn't happen, at the end of the season, if he looks bad for the next 4 games, I mean, all I can ever do, Ken, is just call it how it is and call it how I see it.
You know what I want to happen? I want him to have I want him to keep improving. I like this kid. I don't like his dad whatsoever, but I like him. I like him a lot. I've called in and dogged you guys before, but I like him. The issue is Kevin. The issue is Kevin. I'm done with Kevin. I want Shador to be the next 10-year quarterback. That's what I want.
All right.
Ken, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
So thank you.
I mean, do people forget where you didn't just glaze Shador the 2 previous weeks?
Well, thank you for pointing that out because it is one of those things. Like, and here's where as I made the whole segment about Lime, I'll give Lime a credit. Out of the two of them in the morning, he at least this morning was able to be like, have you listened to Jonathan the past few weeks? Like, he's been very level-headed and very understanding of the situation. And it's all you can do is like, my big problem was for 9 months, guys, when we didn't see Shador play, I wasn't going to move off what I thought of him in college because we had no new games to go off of. I've said this repeatedly. I thought it was insanity. If I believed him in college, what part of a 9-month layoff would have me being like, no, he sucks? Well, the only way you get off of that, Nick, is if you believe what people like the Browns were telling you behind the scenes. And as we really kind of laid out here, I don't buy anything anybody tells me behind the scenes, because a lot of the times it's whatever they want to push. And so I didn't let it move. I didn't get moved off of that at all.
I just want to, I didn't know if Shador's supporters were still hurting his chances here. I didn't know that one. I just want to check them. Hmm. Also, how do we feel about Dupansky?
It's used a lot.
It's not Stukansky.
It's not very clever, but I do like any attempt.
It's not stupid Fansky, which I find both not clever, not working, and not nice.
Yeah.
I think we're trying to, we can just say he's a bad coach, guys. We don't have to find an insulting way.
We don't have to come up with nicknames.
And by the way, if we're going to do it, it's got to be Kevin. And I don't know what it would be. If we're going to start having an insulting moniker for Kevin Stefanski, I think Stefanski is, I don't think it can be touched. I think it's too many noises, and yeah, I think it's just too, 6 years in, it's not going to happen. Let's shift to Kevin. If we're going to start doing an insulting name thing.
It's hard to insult Kevin. I'm trying to think of an insult for someone named Kevin.
Well, I'll think of one.
Okay, you'll get one.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
We welcome on our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you more excited about Shador's big game or angry at the coaching staff, specifically Kevin Stefanski, for the way that game went down?
I'm going to say I'm more excited for Shador and what the future might hold.
Why?
Well, because if he plays like this the rest of the season, which we got Kevin to say today, Shador will be the starter for the rest of the season. If he's able to play this way toward the rest of the season, maybe we could have a conversation about having him be the starting quarterback in 2026. So there's a lot of potential there. Whereas like the coaching staff, they may all not be here next year, and the outcome of yesterday's game in the grand scheme of things might not matter. So I think when I look at big picture, Shadur's performance matters more than just anger and disappointment from poor coaching.
Wait, real quick. Kevin announced the obvious that Shadur would be the starter going forward, did you guys start a slow clap and then just allow him, like, as it built to like a raucous applause for his bravery? Did you guys then like allow him, basically play him off with a clap, like a thunderous ovation?
No. I think Mary Kay just went on to the next question.
I'm surprised you guys didn't chime in being like, no, duh. Like, thanks for breaking that news, Kevin.
Listen, we try and keep those pressers respectful.
Let me ask you, though. I am curious because today's felt like a win in many ways, and it should be one of the worst losses of the season when you lose to a one-win Titans team that might be one of the worst teams we've seen in the previous half decade. What were the vibes, though? What were the vibes in the locker room after the game? Were they uplifted, or was it like a typical loss where it seems like it was just all down and out?
A combination. I mean, look, the fact that Shadur played as well as he did, I mean, he did something that no Browns rookie quarterback has ever done with the 350-plus yards passing, three passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown. The fact that he accounted for four scores, the fact that he brought them back from double digits down twice in that game, they had a chance. They have a chance with him on the field. And I think that that's what the locker room sees. They don't have a chance when Dylan Gabriel is on the field. When Shadur Sanders is on the field, there's a chance. And so I think that, you know, as you guys put it, stating the blatantly obvious that he should be the starting quarterback for the remainder of the season, I think that that will buy, I guess, some goodwill within the locker room because they got four miserable games left to go on this schedule, and they're not going to be favored in any of them. Certainly not in Chicago, won't be against Buffalo, won't be against Pittsburgh, and they're not, maybe they will be against Cincinnati depending on where the Bengals are come week 18, but there's tangible hope with Shadur, and you know, folks should be excited about it. I don't want to hear about that, it was against the Tennessee Titans and they were 1-11. Look, they're professionals, and he went out there and made throws. The touchdown to Jerry Jeudy was a thing of beauty. Same thing to David Njoku. The Harold Fannin ball was incredible, too. He made a lot of really good throws. Really one bad throw, and that was the interception. That was a bad decision, but I loved what he had to say about it after the game. You know, thought we needed a spark. I took a chance. It didn't work. I'm going to learn from that. I know that now that that's a play that I can't try and make. But yeah, I think that he has shown a lot in the short time that he's been on the field, and he's shown a lot of progression in the short time that he's been on the field. And again, these are none of the things that we saw from Dylan Gabriel. So we're never going to get an explanation, but I do kind of feel like there's some splaining that needs to be done from that organization when it comes to not only their draft processes and who they took and when they took them, as well as the evaluation both leading into the draft as well as coming into the season.
Daryl, what do you think is more important to Shadur being QB1 heading into this offseason? Wins in the final four games or just the stats?
Well, it's not just about stats, Nick. He just has to play well. Look, the numbers yesterday were impressive, but going back and watching it, he played pretty impressive. There are some spots where, yes, the footwork still needs some work. There were a couple plays where he got a little further away from the line of scrimmage than maybe I would be comfortable with a quarterback getting away from the line of scrimmage. There were plays where he was trying to direct traffic, saw that there was nothing there, and he threw the ball away. There were plays where he got it out real fast. He got through the progressions real fast. So for me, it's more about the film than the box score and the wins and losses at this point, because let's be honest about it, where the Browns are at, which is 3-10 with 4 to play, the wins and losses right now feel like they're just completely immaterial. And I think Kevin kind of told you that with some of the coaching decisions he made yesterday.
If there was only a way to gauge how someone played, though, you know?
There's only
like, there's only like, well, yeah, okay. If there was only like, I don't know, like numbers that would represent how well somebody played, I don't know what you'd call them. I don't know. They can't think of a word of
statistics.
Yeah, that sounds right, but
we
maybe
have too
not.
Many of them is the argument we have now.
That's true. Analytics.
Oh, Darryl, I hear you're big mad at big analytics these days.
I'm not big mad at analytics. It's just the Browns don't know how to use them, and they don't help the Browns.
Like, were you getting in fights with people over 2-point conversions? Tell us what's happening.
No, I just listen. You don't have the personnel to do that stuff. The Philadelphia Eagles have the personnel where they can follow analytics and go for two when they're still down a touchdown. The Browns don't have those people. Kick the extra point, be down 7, then go for 2 if you want to go for the win after that. Because if you don't get it, which the Browns typically don't get, now you're down out and you got to go for 2 again. And they didn't get either one of them, and they ended up losing the game by 2 points. So, and also, when you're not play for overtime, that granted, as someone who covered the game, no one wanted to see overtime in that game yesterday. But I just, the analytics, or you can follow the analytics when you have the personnel. The Browns don't have the personnel. And when you look at the results since they instituted this program, which again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. My point that I'm trying to make is it's not helping them. It's not producing wins. They have 7 losing seasons, okay? 5 or 6 of those are the double-digit varieties. Actually, no, it's 8 losing seasons. 6 of them, double-digit variety, since they implemented this analytical plan and adopted it. It doesn't work for them. It works great for the Philadelphia Eagles. Doesn't work well here in Cleveland. So they need to assess how they're using it. And I don't know, also it would help if the front office would get some personnel in here that would make it worthwhile.
Yeah, but just imagine where they'd be without analytics, Darryl.
I know, they'd still have 3 wins. They're right back where they were. Listen, they're losing.
They might only have 2, Darryl.
Yeah. I mean, they're losing, Nick, at the same clip that they were losing at 10 years ago. Nothing is better with this team other than, okay, you have a Hall of Famer on the roster, once-in-a-generation defensive player. Other than that, the rest of it's slop. It's the same slop fans have been fed for 27 seasons for the most part, outside of 3 or 4 watchable years. Like, it's not their application, whatever it is, it's not translating into any type of a competitive advantage for this franchise. And again, it's the same thing. For whatever reason, everything is harder here in Cleveland when it comes to the Browns. They have to take the hardest path to everything. They can never figure anything out. They can never do anything the right way on the field. So, it's not that I'm against analytics. I'm just against the wasting all this time and energy on them when they don't produce any results.
You know, I do agree with you, though. I would have played for overtime. And the analytics do say that if you just, again, the reason why you go for 2 is it gives you a higher chance of winning the game. But kicking the extra points just give you a higher chance of going to OT. I think if they go to OT in that game, Darryl, I don't know how they would have ended up losing, because the Browns offense looked that much better at the end of the game. And it looked like Cam Ward had done all he could in that game.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders outplayed Cam Ward by a mile yesterday. Okay. Like, he did, and again, that's part of the reason I feel so good about what I saw yesterday. The run defense didn't show up for the Browns. That's unfortunate. Special teams as well. It remains as special as it's been under Bubba Ventrone. When you're fighting and scratching and clawing for wins, you can't really afford to take sometimes you just got to, let's do the basics. Let's kick the PAT, go down 7. If we score again and come within a point, then we have a decision to make. Do we go for the win? Do we go for the tie? Or I should say, in this case, go for the lead or go for the tie. Then you make the decision. My point is, you don't have the personnel to get the 2-point conversion at a rate that I feel comfortable with them going for it in that spot. Also, they went to the gadgetry. They took the hottest hand on the field, off the field, for that one, because they, I guess, had to hold him accountable because he fumbled the snap on the first 2-point conversion. Again, selective accountability with this team. You don't get it. You lose the game by 2, and that's what's frustrating, because that is a game they should not have won. They're probably not going to win another game this season now. But they could have had that one yesterday, and because they're all caught up in their spreadsheets, you don't have the personnel to allow you to be caught up in the spreadsheets. Well, you lost a game you should have won. So good for you. Y'all smarter than all of us. you know, enjoy your loss.
I'm going to leave it there. Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
You bet. Talk to you later in the week.
Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Great stuff with him.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's quick hits.
JP, we mentioned a lot about the 2-point conversion. Gage Larvadan muffed another punt this week and was a part of the failed 2-point conversion play, which he was asked about after the game.
What was supposed to happen on that 2-point conversion?
We were supposed to score, so we get 2 points. Yep.
All right. Gage made a big whoopsie. Not on that play, but another one. I thought this answer was objectively hilarious.
It's kind of funny. It's right in line with the answer that Shador gave. I don't know which reporter it was, but they asked him, like, so what were you trying to do on that play to was it the fan and one of the Njoku one? Either one. He was like, did you mean to get it to that receiver? He's like, yeah, I threw it there for a reason. Yeah. Like, it's all of that. Yes, I like when athletes have the awareness in the moment to understand that sometimes reporters ask dumb questions.
Also, I just like that Gage, he's been under fire. I mean, there's a chance at some point in the very near future, if he does at least one more of those, they might strongly scold him. Or I don't even, maybe threaten him just being cut. So the idea that that Gage was like, you know, I'm not going to answer that question. I know exactly what you're asking, but I'm like, that's the appropriate of, you just lost. You made a mistake in that loss, although again, not on the 2-point conversion. And I'm just going to go ahead and be a little bit of a smart ass here.
It sucks because how do you have him return punts anymore?
I don't know. They just did it.
I know, but like, and they probably will for the rest of the season. But yeah. I don't know how you justify that. And it stinks because I root for him. I like him, but that's just I don't know how you continue to put him out there.
Yeah, because they're just going to keep doing it.
They're just going to keep doing it. Yeah.
The bold thing about the Browns is this is great, where they're like, man, that was a real mistake. And then they act like, we got this covered. Don't you guys worry. And then they just keep doing it.
Like maybe in a dome, maybe in a dome. But if like there's any wind at all, like
so
please,
we just,
no.
Wait, so wait. We just
like
have to wait.
A breeze is like, no, thank you.
Just be patient, JP, in That's 3 years.
Yeah.
3 to 4 years.
And then you get to play half of your games in a dome.
Yep.
Only half. We'll count for the other half somewhere, but yeah. All right, College Football Playoff Committee, they came out with their rankings. Notre Dame missing out is the big deal here. Notre Dame has been very grumpy about the whole ordeal. They say they won't do any bowl games. They won't participate after this. And so it's an interesting little tidbit to the whole conversation, but Notre Dame, big mad.
Yeah, this would be like when a trust fund baby doesn't get to get in the club. And then they throw a huge hissy fit and threaten to sue the owner. Ooh, you got us, yeah. Notre Dame. Did Notre Dame lose some games this year, or were they undefeated? Did I miss the point where they were undefeated?
Not only did they lose games, they lost games to Miami. And that's why Miami was ahead of them.
Now, granted, you can say, well, how did somebody leapfrog all that? You left it up to chance. Like, I got to be honest with you, Vanderbilt had a great, their head coach, Clark Lee, had an incredible response to this, where it was like, you know, basically the media baited him. They set it up like, how frustrating is this? And he's like, no, we didn't do our job.
Didn't do our job, yeah.
And here's the thing. When it was two teams, I always had such empathy for programs. If it was like 3 12-1 teams and somebody got in, always had empathy. When it was four teams and there was always one team left out, always had, it's 12 teams. That's half the top 25.
Now, yeah, like, within this, though, I don't love the idea that Tulane and James Madison are in. I think they made that part of the rule, and I don't know that I need that necessarily.
Well, in fairness, if the ACC was a real football conference, we wouldn't have this problem either.
Well, and so that's where Notre Dame's AD came out, and this morning he was talking about, like, basically, if there's a separation shortly, it would not surprise me.
Yeah,
he was
that
very,
guy's a chotch. He was very mad. Was a chotch
he was very mad at the ACC and their responses to all of this. He's like, we're with you for 24 different sports, and this is how you act to us? As if Notre Dame couldn't be acted any other way. So I would imagine that maybe this is all one big setup for Notre Dame just to go ahead and make their move to the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're not going to go to the Big
Ten. Something that isn't the ACC, though.
No, they're not going to do that because they fundamentally will never learn a lesson because that's Notre Dame. They just think they're better than everyone, and they get to play by a different set of rules. And then when something happens that proves that is not true, cognitive dissonance happens.
Omaha!
A little frustrated there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with the Chiefs. Playoffs chances are now in the low teens after their 20-10 defeat at the hands of Houston Texans. Will Patrick Mahomes ever win a Super Bowl again?
Yes, I think he will. What I think is interesting is that, first off, Travis Kelce can't hang on to the football at this point.
None of them can.
Well, we can't be surprised. I know, but he leads the team in drops. Like he is. We can't be surprised.
He's holding on to Taylor Swift so hard.
Yeah, number one podcast in the country. Gonna marry Taylor Swift.
You're saying his attention is divided?
We just can't be shocked by this. At 35 years old, all of a sudden he starts to fall off a little bit. Like this.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
Ah.
So actually, I think he might actually be 36 at this point. We move at the same ages. I just don't know exactly when his birthday is. So he probably is 36. We can't be shocked here. We can't be surprised. Here's the problem, though, Nick. This ends up, this is the same thing like rooting for Belmont in the NCAA basketball tournament, and you get to the Elite Eight, and you're like, wait, where's the Blue Bloods?
Mm-hmm.
Too much Belmont. That's what's happening here. We're going to get to the postseason, and we're going to look around and be like, oh, too many teams we don't care about the same way we care about Patrick Mahomes, and that's not great.
Yeah, listen, in the end, the Chiefs missing the playoffs, getting a higher draft pick. This is one of the cases where getting a top 15 pick might land you a Jordan Tyson or a Carnell Tate, or it might land you, I can't remember the tight ends, the name that it was just there, but like, the Chiefs have been drafting poorly at the back half of the draft. And it's really been since like the Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith draft, maybe the Karloftis, McDuffie draft. Since then, they just have not replenished around Mahomes enough.
Well, and they're really expensive players are guys like Chris Jones, who was really good, but now he's older. Travis Kelce, who's really good, but now he's older. And so like all the money that they spent in big ways are to a lot of aged guys.
So it makes sense. And again, I think they will. But I think we're probably 2 years away from them being a serious Super Bowl contender again. I think it's going to take two good drafts, and again, they'll be back in the playoffs next year. Yeah. But two.
Mahomes has 10 more years. It wouldn't surprise me if he has kind of like a Tom Brady situation, where Tom Brady went 10 years in between Super Bowl wins in his career, at a spot in his career. But if you look at like Brady's career, it's separated. It wouldn't surprise me if something like that happens. Omaha. All right. What do you know about giant inflatable Easter bunnies?
Not a lot.
Okay, well, let me tell you something that the Philadelphia Eagles learned about them. Apparently, they just end up in your locker room when you're having all sorts of problems with vibes in the locker room. They're calling this the Vibe Bunny, and it appeared right outside of Saquon Barkley's locker room. It's a giant inflatable Easter bunny.
Oh, it's a I thought it was like a person.
No. Giant with inflatable like Easter bunny.
Artificial enhancements?
It looks like it's a solid 12 feet tall. It's massive, and no one knows how it got there. Nobody knows who placed it there. It just showed up, and they're calling it the Vibe Bunny, and Saquon was asked about it.
I have no idea. I'm not into like holidays and like bunnies and Christmas. I do the Christmas stuff, I got kids, but like I'm not really big like joyful holiday person, I guess. So I don't know why. I think that's really the only spot we can fit a big bunny. But I was told it's Vibe Bunny and the vibes are high, so
I kind of love the idea that they wanted him to be like, yeah, Vibe Bunny, this is awesome. And he's like, I don't really even enjoy holidays. I don't know what's going on here.
The Eagles are so cooked.
It made me want to bet against them tonight.
I mean, this is
like Vibe Bunny alone made me want to bet against him tonight.
Like, what? Is there a less 12-foot inflatable Easter Bunny town on the planet than Philadelphia? I mean, they almost to get the bad juju of this out of locker room, they should have 20 drunken, violent Philadelphia fans come in with batteries and chuck it at it until
it's Santa Claus. That's for Santa.
Well, no. But they did it for Pete Rose. They've done it for a million. Like, if you give drunken, violent, you already knew the violent part, Philly fans batteries, someone's getting it chucked at. Be it Santa Claus, a 5-year-old child, the Easter Bunny. You get it. This is not good.
Who thought Vibe Bunny? Like, did they see this on sale and was like, "This is what's going to turn the season around"?
Is this
going to be? If I find out this is Sirianni, I'm out on him forever.
I refuse to believe it's Howie Roseman.
Was it Big Dom?
You think Big Dom's up?
Yeah, I could see Big Dom being the biggest. People are always the softest when it comes to this stuff.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. Ohio State lost in the Big Ten title game. Do you care?
Yeah, I care.
That game really pissed me off.
Well, I don't care as much as you do, probably, but I care.
Indiana was not the better team. That's what upsets me about it. Ryan Day played, coached that game like he was ahead by 45 points from the final 3 minutes on how they acted at the end of the first half, where they took up all the time, didn't even come close to scoring a touchdown. Then they get the ball back to start the second half. And what a weak-ass drive that was. Like, that was your 14-point swing right there. And it was, oh, and by the way, the long drive in the fourth quarter that took up most of the fourth quarter that didn't result in points, that is all Ryan Day. He coached like Andy Reid, clock management-wise, circa 2009.
The third and two throw by Mendoza, the stones to make that call, the 50-yard bomb, the stones to make that call on third and two in that spot, in that situation, and then the execution by Mendoza was top-notch, though.
Yeah, he's a total knob, though.
Oh,
he's a total goober.
I don't understand that. I know people are like, oh, he cut a promo or whatever. He just seemed like an idiot.
Yeah, I know, but it was a pro wrestling promo.
He seems so lame.
Yeah. No, he
corniest
he
human in college football.
It's not great. It's not like... No, I'm not going to make the joke.
No.
Might as well. It's just not great. It's just really not. You got beat by Urkel.
There you go.
All right. And by the way, that was the nice joke that
I had. It's no longer Football Ned Flanders for Kirk Cousins. That's Mendoza's now
Flanders.
Yeah, Mendoza's now Football Ned Flanders.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.